My first guest in this edition is Ed Whalen. He is a former law clerk for Justice Antonin Scalia. He's also served as counsel for the Senate Judiciary Committee. He is now president of the Ethics and Public Policy Center here in Washington. We want to get his thoughts on some of the curious comments made by Barack Obama 7 years ago in a radio interview when he talked about the need to redistribute the wealth, which is, of course, an issue that has come up recently on the campaign trail. We also want to get Mr. Whalen's thoughts on the type of justices he believes that Senator Obama would appoint to the Supreme Court if elected and the type of justices Senator McCain would appoint if he's elected. And Ed, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
First of all, given your close working relationship to the court during your time as a clerk for Justice Scalia, what did you notice about the type of justice that is right for the Supreme Court?
Well, what we need from the Supreme Court are justices who are content to say what the law means and not to indulge their own policy preferences. That's true whether their policy preferences are conservative or liberal, but of course the record of the last few decades is that we've had liberal judicial activists on one issue after another take issues away from the American people and impose the agenda of the left.
One of the things that, of course, is making headlines today, and John McCain is talking about this, is a public radio interview featuring then-state Senator Barack Obama from back in 2001. And apparently the conversation was essentially focusing on the civil rights movement a few decades earlier. And Senator Obama was asked to talk about what the courts had accomplished and had not accomplished in that sense. And here's one of the clips from that interview.
The Supreme Court never ventured into the issues of redistribution of wealth and sort of more basic issues of political and economic justice in the society. And to that extent, as radical as I think people tried to characterize the Warren Court, it wasn't that radical. It didn't break free from the essential constraints that were placed by the Founding Fathers in the Constitution.
Ed, as you listen to that commentary from Senator Obama from 7 years ago, he's obviously suggesting that the Warren Court could have done more, and he also says it should have broken away from what the Constitution was intended to mean more than 200 years ago. What are your first thoughts when you hear that commentary?
Well, the statement is open to different interpretations. I suppose at bottom what's clear is that whether it's through the legislative process or through the courts, Barack Obama favors radical left solutions to what he sees as the nation's problems. And if he's elected president with a Democratic Congress that's going to push things left, he's going to have an open door to accomplish what he wants.
In terms of your impressions of the Warren Court, he was, of course, Chief Justice from, I believe, 1953 to 1968 or 69. What do you believe is the hallmark of that era at the Supreme Court?
Well, the hallmark is a real radicalism, and it's striking that Barack Obama sees fit to defend the Warren Court as saying it wasn't really all that radical. What the Warren Court did was entirely divorce constitutional interpretation from text, from tradition, in pursuit of what it saw as good and just policies. Now, in some cases, it may have achieved results that we're grateful for. In lots of other cases, it achieved a lot of mischief and worse that's had to be undone. But what you had there is judges not content to be acting as judges, but really thinking that they have some sort of grand authority to reshape the law, reshape society in pursuit of the goals that they see as important.
We're speaking with Ed Whalen, who has clerked for Justice Antonin Scalia, been a counsel for the Senate Judiciary Committee, and he's now president of the Ethics and Public Policy Center here in Washington. And Ed, in terms of the way justices view laws that exist as well as precedent, some have said that really it all boils down to just the justices' personal ideology, and even those who say they're strict constructionists really kind of impose their own opinion on a case. How much of that should we believe?
Well, I think that objection is dramatically overstated. Look, it's true that every justice as a human is going to have to face the temptation reading things the way he wants. The big difference between liberal judicial activists or living constitutionalists, if you like, on the one side, and advocates of originalism and judicial restraint on the other, is that those on the left have a philosophy that invites them to indulge their own policy preferences, whereas so-called judicial conservatives have a philosophy that's designed to guard against that. So, look, am I going to say it's impossible that it would ever happen judicial conservatives might indulge their own policy preferences? Of course, it's not impossible. Again, that's a human temptation, but it's something that the left welcomes, and it's something that judicial conservatives do their best to guard against.
Ed, here's another clip from that interview back 7 years ago with Senator Obama talking about how the Constitution approaches what powers the government does and does not have.
Generally, the Constitution is a charter of negative liberties, says what the states can't do to you, says what the federal government can't do to you, but it doesn't say what the federal government or the state government must do on your behalf.
Is the Constitution right to have that approach, Ed, or should it have the double approach that the senator suggests?
Well, again, there may be some ambiguity in terms of what exactly he's proposing. I think his description of the document as one of negative liberty is correct, negative in the sense that it puts constraints on what the government can do. So I have no quarrel with that. I would say, though, that if we look more broadly at Barack Obama's record and his rhetoric, we see that he embraces a really expansive role of what judges ought to be doing. He favors government by judiciary. He wants judges who will indulge their passions. He says that the critical ingredient is what is in the judge's heart, which is a strange place to look for legal reasoning. And in his votes on judges, the statements he's made, he's shown all the markings of a liberal judicial activist. So for those who recognize that the current court is not a conservative court, the current court is one that still needs significant improvement, electing Barack Obama would be a serious mistake.
Ed, we're obviously looking at a situation where one Supreme Court justice is bound to retire in the next 4 years, almost certainly, since John Paul Stevens is already more than 88 years old. Some believe if Barack Obama is elected that others, including Justice Ginsburg and possibly at least one or two others, could be leaving as well. So how important is this presidential decision as it pertains to the makeup of the court for perhaps the next couple of decades?
Well, it's one of the critical issues that American citizens should be focusing on in deciding how to vote. Have in mind that the next president will be an odds-on favorite to serve a second term. And during the course of the next 8 years, a president would have the opportunity probably to replace five or six justices and really transform the court. So I think it's a huge issue, and for American citizens who care, or certainly ought to care, about their powers of representative government, about the realm in which their legislators are able to act and craft policy, they need to make sure that we don't have justices who are inventing a right to same-sex marriage, who are striking under God out of the Pledge of Allegiance, who will continue to abolish the death penalty on the installment plan, who create a right to human cloning, who look to European practices selectively to impose on us what the leftist elites in Europe want, and so on. It's a huge, huge issue, one that will last well past the next president. And I think the decision is clear. The difference between a Barack Obama and a John McCain is quite clear.
Ed, you mentioned a couple of hot-button issues that are already in the legal system right now, including gay marriage as well as the Pledge of Allegiance. What sort of issues are you most focused on that the court might be addressing here in the next decade or so?
Well, I think you've identified two of them. I'll broaden the under God phrase in the Pledge of Allegiance to the whole issue of complete secularization of the public square. And, of course, short of the question of imposing a federal constitutional right to same-sex marriage, there's a real danger that five justices could strike down the Defense of Marriage Act, which is the act that President Clinton signed into law to prevent the spread of same-sex marriage from one state to another. I think we see, again, the possibility of continued judicial micromanagement of the government's war powers. There's certainly a danger of a reversal of the ruling on partial birth abortion, of taxpayer funding of abortion. A lot of this may not occur in the next, the 4 or 6 years, precisely because it's probable that the initial justices being replaced will be liberals, and even if the appointees are harder left, they only get one vote. So I would say it's really looking over 20 or 30 years that you'll see that these appointees can really drive the court in the wrong direction. And again, specifically in depriving us citizens of the ability to work out policies, revisit them over time, persuade each other, and figure out what set of policies ought to govern our communities.
Ed, about 60 seconds left here. You mentioned that you're concerned about what the Supreme Court would look like if Barack Obama were given the chance to make some appointments. What about if John McCain's elected president? What kind of justices would he likely appoint?
Well, a court that John McCain helps transform would be one that practices judicial restraint, that recognizes that issues are to be left to the democratic processes to be decided. There's obviously been a lot of hullabaloo and focus on Roe. I certainly hope that appointees by John McCain would help to restore Roe to the democratic processes. Of course, those appointees are going to those nominees by John McCain are going to have to get through a heavily Democratic Senate. And even once we get Roe overturned, there's still going to be the challenge of working out what Democratic policy, what policies ought to be enacted in the states. So, you know, that's what citizenship is all about. And I think appointees by John McCain would help restore what the American citizenship is and ought to be.
Ed, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Greg.
Ed Whalen is a former Supreme Court clerk for Justice Antonin Scalia. He also served as counsel for the Senate Judiciary Committee. He is now president of the Ethics and Public Policy Center here in Washington. This is Dateline Washington. The news is next.